once the photos were ready and she sent them to us, I was just blown away by how much seeing that physical picture of our pain and our suffering was portrayed in just a few pictures.
Welcome to Straight Talk on Life Issues. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
And I'm your co-host, Victor Nieves. It's great to be here with you today.
Men and women often deeply suffer from guilt and pain after abortion, and their grief can be overwhelming.
Although some people may feel temporary relief, a vast majority carry an overwhelming sense of loss.
And Victor, I came across a unique person, very unique, who photographs people who have had abortions in their past. This creative process allows them to express their abortion stories through conceptual imagery. Let me tell you, the photographs and stories are uniquely amazing and beautiful.
And as we'll hear, these photographs help women and men who have lost children to abortion find forgiveness and healing. Today we'll be talking with Angela Forker. She was formerly a missionary of 15 years. God took her from missionary and turned her into an incredible newborn photographer. Now her photography has touched millions of lives around the world while sharing the sanctity of life. We're also joined by Paula Page, an abortion survivor. She's now happily married to her husband, Robert. They have children, grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren. We're also joined by Chuck and Linda Raymond. They experienced an abortion together as teenagers that greatly impacted their lives. Today, the couple is involved in the Silent No More Awareness Campaign and the Abortion Healing Ministry Retreats.
Angela, Paula, Linda, and Chuck, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi there.
Hello, and welcome.
This is going to be a fun program because I have seen the work of Angela and have become a big fan. So let's just jump right into it. But first, Paula, Linda, and Chuck, we want to hear your stories. And let's start with you, Paula.
Well, my mom and dad had two children. The first child passed away day after birth. And then my mom got pregnant quickly. 11 months later, she had my brother, who was also premature, 7 months. And then right after he was born, she found out she was pregnant for me. My dad was an unemployed carpenter, and the doctor would not give my mother medical care because he owed him too much money. So my dad didn't know what to do. They ended up going to terminate the pregnancy. And I didn't know this story until I was 30 years old. I found out after my fourth child was born, my father told me one night, and I thought he was talking about somebody else. And then I thought he was joking. And then when I realized it was me, I just was speechless. So I worked with that a little bit and tried to work it through my head. Then about a month later, I had a talk with my mom, and she told me about what it was like to go to the abortion clinic, which was really heart-wrenching for me to have to hear what she went through. She told me how she went into this ward. There was 6 or 8 beds. It was very medicinal and cold and not inviting, and metal beds. This was back in the early 50s. And the other ladies that came in and had their procedure done, they left, and she was the last one to leave because her procedure didn't complete. So anyway, they came in at the end of the time waiting and said, well, we're closing, so you have to leave. So she went home, and a month or so later, she felt movement in her abdomen and realized that I was still there.
Wow.
And yeah, and she was happy. Neither one of them wanted to abort me. It wasn't because they didn't want me. It was because they couldn't take care of me, afford me. And I guess that was an easy thing to do. So that's the way it worked out. But I have a scar on the side of my face here from where my foot was laying beside my face when I was born. I also have a little scar right there on my neck where the heel of my foot was laying. So my foot was laying here, my left foot. And my left knee is deformed because of the way it formed in my mother's womb. I didn't walk till I was 3. And I was never able to kneel on my knee like most people can. But I don't look at it as a handicap. I look at it as life. And I've just learned to live with it.
So what did they give your mom to cause the abortion or try to?
It was an instrument abortion, and they probably used saline too, but neither one of them worked. God said no.
Indeed.
And when he says no, that's
When
the
he
final
says
word.
no, that's the last word. Yep.
Well, thank you, Paula. Linda and Chuck, let's briefly hear your story.
Chuck and I met as teens at our after-school job and quickly started dating. Pretty quickly, we became intimate and we had an unexpected, unplanned pregnancy as a result of our intimacy. Our parents had never met each other. We had been dating about a year and a half at that point, and we met one night with our two sets of parents, and it was quickly decided by our parents that that was the best thing for us to do is to have an abortion. So at the time I was 18, Chuck was 17. He was a senior in high school, getting ready to, he was applying to the United States Military Academy at West Point. And so that was a big, big thing. Senior year, I was in my first year of college. So pretty quickly, we had the abortion. It was absolutely the worst mistake in my life. We had no support, no one we could reach out to discuss options or just have the support going through it. And it was pretty brutal. It's a, probably the worst day of my life. I would have to say that because it impacted us the rest of our lives in very, very negative ways. Well, in short order after the abortion, we squashed it, didn't talk about it again. My mother threatened that she didn't want this to be spoken of again. And that's kind of the way things went. Chuck did receive his appointment to the military academy and left in June of 76. And I was at home finishing my college degree and starting to do work on my degree. So 5 years went past and Chuck graduated from the military academy. We got married the day after, and we were in the Army for 6 years. And we had two children. In between those two children, Satan came into play, I'm positive, because I was expecting child number two, and I miscarried that child on the same date that I had my abortion in January of
Wow.
76. It was just,
That was tough.
it was
Ouch.
crushing,
Yeah.
crushing. So throughout our marriage, I've suffered very, very deep depression, been hospitalized for it, went to many, many therapists, and really never got to the root. I don't think I was able to get back to the abortion with any of these therapists until we met someone who was trained in post-abortive couples and their pain and guilt and anguish. And so I was able to get some healing from those events with that therapist. From there, we went on to get further healing with Project Rachel here in St. Louis. And then also, we attended a Rachel's Vineyard retreat weekend, which really started us on our path. And today, of course, many decades later, I feel strongly that God took our terrible, terrible mistake and our shame and our guilt and turned it into good for his glory.
Well, I think I end up saying this most every program we do, and that is out of the ashes of our lives, God does some really mighty things, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
Does.
Thank you
Does.
for
Gosh.
affirming that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
And as far as east is from the west, so has he removed our sins from us. So when Satan reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future, and he will flee because it is really ugly. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, Paula, you spoke to some of the physical side effects of the attempt on your life. Could you tell us more about how that's impacted you throughout your life?
Well, I had lots of names in school, Lumpy and Scarface and Cyclops and all kinds of names like that. I was always picked last for whatever sport was going because I couldn't run well, couldn't walk well, can't do stairs easily. Even now, I do them one at a time. Of course, I'm 71 years old now, but I couldn't even do them when I was younger. But yeah, the scar, I don't even see it anymore. And when people ask me, what's wrong with the scar on your face? Doctors will ask me, what happened? Did you have an accident or surgery? And I'll say, no, it was a birth defect.
Linda, how did you feel after the abortion? What was it like emotionally for you?
Immediate shame, guilt, and of course, physical pain. The emotional pain, I think, was much greater because the physical pain would fade over time, but the emotional pain has stayed with me my entire life.
Chuck, how about you? I know that men hurt too.
Yeah, Brad, my journey is a good bit different in my healing. As Linda said, the kind of the plan was that we had solved this terrible problem. We had made the pregnancy go away. I forced myself to believe that that was a valid choice, that because our parents had advised it so strongly, that that was the right thing to do. And the mission now was to move on, to forget about it and not talk about it. And I honestly did not have the emotional maturity to recognize all the pain that Linda had. You know, there was a complicated bit of emotions. We were anticipating being away from each other and trying to figure out how we're going to stay together when we're separated. And, you know, that was painful, but it wasn't clearly in my heart connected to the woundedness that she still had. You know, I think Angela captured the conflict in our relationship very well. With that speaks so powerfully to the love and the warmth that we had. I don't know how you did that, Angela, but and the commitment that we had to each other, but also the separation, the big hole in our communications, my lack of understanding what was really going on emotionally for her. And then, of course, I got in the Army. I was playing, you know, Joe Rock soldier, be tough, be ready to go, you know, fight in a war. So that kind of helped close my emotional ability to connect to bad things. And so this poor sweetheart here really had to endure all of this for a good number of years before we were even back together all the time, which was 5 years later when we got married. As an aside, what a miracle that God gifted us with the ability to stay together through all of that.
Angela, share with us how you first came to use photography as a way to minister to men and women who have lost children to abortion.
So my husband and I were missionaries. We were missionaries to Germany and to Italy, and God said he had a big change coming. He told me to learn newborn photography fast and well. So I started off as a newborn photographer, and that's so weird to me, going from missionary to newborn photographer, but I was just following God. And the first thing that happened was in 2017, I was praying and I said, so God, I was a missionary and now I'm a newborn photographer? Trying to figure out, like, how does this even make sense? And I said, is there any way you can use this? And the first thing God asked me to do was to pray a prayer of blessing over every new baby that came to me. And so I was like, whoa, I don't know if you know this, God, but I'm a business and businesses don't do that. And I believe God wanted to know, will you be faithful in something that's seemingly small, which was actually very big, because I've prayed over Hindus, Muslims, atheists, like you name it. And then in 2018, that's where God asked me to do the Precious Baby Project. So then in 2019, I said another prayer and I said, God, I pray that you would use my photography to bring people to you. So again, I always have something in my mind when I say these prayers. What God was thinking was so different. It was nothing that I would have ever, ever imagined. And I was getting ready for church one day. I wasn't even praying. And I felt like God said, I want you to tell post-abortive women's and men's stories. And it really feels like it was a long time, but my argument with God maybe lasted about 3 minutes, but it was pretty intense. And I was like, no, thank you. You know, I'm thinking this is going to be controversial. I've got all these wild thoughts in my head. You know, I'm like, wait a minute, why? And I was like, why me, God? I'm not post-abortive. Why would you ask me to do that? I'm going to fast forward. Later, I did ask God, why did you ask me to do this? And his answer was, because I knew you'd say yes. It wasn't that I was qualified. It was just that he was looking for someone to say yes. God showed me his great heart of love and compassion for these post-abortive women and men. And I couldn't stop bawling. For the next few days, whenever I thought about this great thing that God was asking me to do, I just would just weep. And I said, okay, God, if you love them this much, then yes, I will do this for you. And God told me, I want you to follow me exactly like I tell you. We do some really intense things during that session. The woman who said I felt like I was buried alive, we actually found a neighbor who had a hole. If you can imagine when I said, hello, I'm a photographer and I was wondering if I could use your hole to bury this lady in and take her pictures. I'm telling you, this is how it goes with these sessions, okay? And he's like, I guess.
I'm he like, didn't say, I don't think that's legal, but...
And so we buried her, and they're like peeking out the windows watching, okay? And so I had it so that her face is like this and like she's clawing out of the ground. But she said she felt like she was buried alive. And so the women go through extreme things, and the men go through extreme things. Actually, with Chuck and Linda, when I said, I see this thing, I said, I know this is so extreme. I'm sure you won't like it, but I said, I see your bodies hugging, but your heads are backwards, showing that you're detached. And they both said, yes, that's it. Mm-hmm. But then let me just show their healing one. Chuck and Linda, we learned that God still loved us after the abortion. We cried a lot and we opened up our hearts and let God in to restore our hearts and our marriage. So just this beautiful. Yeah. That was the other thing that God showed me, was shocking, raw, and real. But then the very important photos are the healing photos. So I say there were the before photos and then the after. Yeah. And I put a lot of artistic work and creativity in the before photos. And do you know the ones that everybody always loves the most? It's the after photos.
Yeah, of course.
But it's more about the message than it is just the photos, you know.
Well, I so wish this was television, but I want to assure you, the listener, that we are going to have links to all of these photos and more on the landing page of this program at lifeissues.org. That's lifeissues.org. And ways in which you can reach out to Angela if you want to use her services. My next question for you, Angela, was if there are any stories that impacted you most. And we've gotten some hilarious stories. Are there any that were particularly poignant as far as the process?
Okay, well, Tori Shaw, she wrote a book, I Have a Secret. If I read her story, it'll tell you her ministry. She says, I spent 17 years never speaking about my abortion. Now I want to share my story, and I'm so grateful that God is using my story to help others find healing. Through my healing process, I have begun a ministry called Not Forgotten Ministries. But what Tori says is, I had a secret for 17 years. So in this photo, now this is going to be kind of incredible for you guys. We went to the former abortion clinic where she had her abortion. This is under the counter where they threw the baby's bodies. And
oh,
she has her finger to her lips like, shh, I have a secret. So this is actually the cover of her book, I Have a Secret, I think it's called. And the deeper we went into that former abortion clinic, there was like a beauty salon school there. I can't even imagine, because even the lady at the front entrance said, do you feel it? Do you feel it? And before we even went in the building, I was telling Tori, wow, there is such a thick darkness. That's before we went into the building. The more we went, the further we went into the building, the heavier the oppression was. And I told her, I said, towards the back of the building, I said, it's the worst here. And Tori told me, this is where they actually did the abortions. And I said, but at this back door. And she said, this is the door that they went out and they threw the bodies into the dumpster. I will never forget that. If there was ever a time that I felt a darkness in my life, it was then. And that night when I went to my hotel room, it's like that oppression came with me and I had to just battle and, you know, Satan, get away from me in Jesus' name. I am doing this work for Jesus and I'm not going to let you stop me. I've never experienced anything so evil in my life, but Tori was so brave to go to that place.
Oh, wow.
Her photos are unbelievable. All of the photos from her session are actually in her book. And one of them is like her getting ready to open the door. And she says, I didn't realize that when I left this place, I'd be different. So she's confidently pushing through the door, going in like, I'm going to do this. And on the one coming out the back door, she's like, just hunched over and just like totally changed. And she held on to that secret for 17 years. And now she's free and God is using her to tell so many people her story.
Well, for those who are interested, we'll put a link so that they can order her book if they would like to. What I was struck by was your creativity and what those photos told, a story that as you looked at it, you could absorb and know the bulk of what that woman's story was. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. God has called you to this and then given you the ability to serve in so many ways for his kingdom. How did Angela's photography help you in your healing journey? And what was that experience like? Let's start with you, Linda.
I feel like the experience going to her home and seeing the work that she did to set up these elaborate sets and think through, okay, how can I show this particular person's pain was just amazing. And what that did for me in my healing journey was once the photos were ready and she sent them to us, I was just blown away by how much seeing that physical picture of our pain and our suffering was portrayed in just a few pictures. It's just amazing to tell a lifetime story of pain, guilt, shame, and regret. And I know she just said that she got more comments on her after photos, but there is a lot of work that goes into the before photos. And to see the picture that comes out, like, wow, she really captured it. And I feel like that was another step in our healing journey because we went through that experience. And during that time that we were there, and then, of course, afterwards with Chuck and I having several conversations after the session, just we brought up things. Well, do you remember this? Do you remember that? How this went and that went the day of, and, you know, just all the weeks that followed the abortion, we were able to move on and bring up different things with each other to, I think, actually get things out in the open between us, things that we one remembered and the other one didn't, that propelled us further into our healing. But Angela's work was just amazing. She was very tender. That did propel us into another step of healing just by having it done and being able to share them with other people.
Thank you. Chuck?
Yeah, I think that we live today with just an incredible peace and joy, and it's all because of the unbelievable mercy and love of Christ, that he never gave up on us. Mm-hmm. All these things, now we can go back and realize that he kept you together. He blessed you with children. He trusted you again as parents after what we had done. And we are involved in different ministries now. And so many times I would love to just be able to scream from the rooftops, God loves you. He wants to heal you. He wants you back. For me, what I got out of Angela's work is that even as many decades as we were away from not only the abortion, but in our healing, is that this was another opportunity that those images are so strong and powerful that those could very well touch somebody else and lead them to know God, to know that he wants to heal them and give you his mercy.
That's an understatement, Chuck, an understatement.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you can't say that vividly enough, but, you know, so that the gift that Angela brings, you know, to the world is that can be seen visually.
Thank you. Angela, Paula, Linda, and Chuck, thank you so much for being on the program today. It's been a real blessing to have you on.
Thank you.
It's been a blessing to us as well.
You know, Victor, I have to chuckle once again about hearing some of these stories of how Angela and her people were getting those unique photos. I would pay good money to be in that neighbor's house as they watched her shovel dirt on that woman. It's just amazing what she does.
Well, and you know, Brad, I think that her testimony and their stories are such a powerful example of doing whatever you do to the glory of God. Her work has had such an impact, and it's so outside of the box. This is something that most of us, we would have never even thought of, but to hear the way that it's impacting even people who are pro-choice, who are telling her, don't stop what you're doing, it's clearly having such a massive impact.
And, you know, oftentimes I'm a little bit of a skeptic when I hear people say, well, God said this, God said that, or he told me to do this. But there is no denying the outcome and net effect of what those conversations were.
Oh, there's no question about it at all. And I think that her art and their stories are a testament to that fact, the impact that they've had, and to just see the way that we can shape culture in anything. It's an inspiration, I think, to every one of us out there that we all have unique talents. We all have unique gifts that God has given us. And no matter who you are, you can use those talents to further life. And to you, our listener, I want to encourage you to go to our website, lifeissues.org. There you can find more information about this topic. You can see the images that we've discussed today and the beauty that they have. Share those with your friends, your family members, and even your church community to help us get this information out and continue to defend life. As always, be sure to tune in next week for another Straight Talk on Life Issues.